And hello, welcome everybody. This is Embody Happiness and Prosperity Radio Show, and I am Marilyn O'Malley. And today we have a panel of guests, and this is very exciting that we're going to be talking about what it is to be a modern-day pioneer, trailblazer, innovator, and in the hopes of supporting those of you who are up-and-coming pioneers, or those of you who have been isolated pioneers, and just to create a conversation about it now and understand why it's important that we have pioneers today and what all of that means. And I would, this whole purpose of this show is to share with you how you can let go of the things that are not serving you, let go of beliefs and vows and patterns that are not allowing you to be the gifted spiritual being that you are and the magnificent human being. So it's here to bridge the spirituality along with your humanness and helping you manifest the life that you are here to live. And if you would like to find out more information about that, and if you're joining this call and you have not, you would like a replay of it and you're not signed up, you can go to www.MarilynO'Malley.com. That is MarilynOmalley.com. And you can sign up there, and I will send you the recording of this show, and you can get the other shows that you might enjoy. So let's begin, because we have a lot of information to share with you today. And I'm going to have each guest, because I'm going to have each guest share who they are, why they think they're a pioneer, or describe, you know, give a description, a definition, the characteristics of what it means to be a pioneer to them, and share a little bit about who they are. And Andy, why don't we start with you, because I know that you cannot stay on the whole call, so if you want to go ahead and start, that would be great. So, Andy, you're muted. I can see you're muted. Oh, hang on. Okay, can you speak? I think I unmuted you.
All right. Am I back now?
You're back now.
All right. Awesome. My name is Andy Grant. I'm a transformational energy coach, and you can learn more about me at navitascoach.com. That's NavitasCoach.com. And to me, a pioneer means someone who doesn't wait for perfection to take action. It's taking a step without being perfectly clear, without knowing for certain what's going to happen when you let your foot land next. Mm-hmm. It's about being vulnerable and authentic and really having the courage to blaze your own path. When I was a kid, I really worried about life from a very young age, like 5 and 6 years old. I was concerned with why I was here, wondering about the meaning of life. And none of my peers had these sort of thoughts. So I thought that I was different and unique, and I thought those were bad things. So a pioneer, to me, really is about embracing your uniqueness, not needing to follow someone else's lead. Mm-hmm. And again, not waiting for perfection. It's taking a chance on yourself. It's having faith in what you are called to do, even when it doesn't make a lot of logical sense. Even when you don't have rock solid certainty that what you're thinking about or contemplating will work at all. But you have that confidence in yourself, that faith that life is really on your side and not stacked against you, that you can take action and step forward.
So, Andy, can I ask you something?
Certainly.
So as that kid, because I think this is an important part, as that kid who thought he was different and you worried, how did you keep going as a pioneer? What kept you going then when, and now you can be, as an adult, you can be confident and have confidence and...
Yeah, my path is... My path is not one that I would advise to follow. I thought I was too emotional. I thought I was very different. I thought I was unique. I thought I was broken. I thought that I was very flawed. And that led to me being a very depressed and even suicidal child. I had suicidal thoughts as early as fourth and fifth grade. I attempted to take my own life as early as 13, and that continued on. So it was my path of, quote-unquote, failing at suicide that led me to open up and realize there's got to be a better way. There must be a reason that I have these feelings, and I'm not able to get myself out of this life. I'm here. There's got to be a better way to navigate and live. And I embraced what I thought were my curses. I embraced my emotions, my vulnerability, my authenticity, my empathy. Became strengths, not the weaknesses that I had labeled them as. And I find that it's always important to be moving towards what I desire as opposed to moving away from what I fear. Right? Mm-hmm. That energy of moving towards what delights me, what brings me joy, as opposed to, oh, I don't like this, I've got to fight this thing, I've got to resist this and push it away.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a much better, easier way to be in the flow of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's often said about, moving towards love. And once what opened up, what changed my life was realizing that it was all about self-love. And if I did not love myself, my life would be difficult, right? I couldn't love somebody else. Mm-hmm. I couldn't receive love from anybody else if I did not love myself first.
Mm-hmm. Let everybody take that in.
Mm-hmm.
Take that in. That's a big one right there. Thank you, Andy.
It's my pleasure.
Who else feels like stepping in right now?
Well, this is Sarah Oma Kane, and Andy, really, thank you. That deeply touched my heart and opened me to see what it takes to be a pioneer is that willingness to really embrace your vulnerability as your gift. My practice in the world really is about how do I allow myself to be open so that I can really feel and see and receive what's wanting to come through me. I'll give you a little information about who I am right now. In this moment in time, I am an ordained priestess, and I am a spiritual intuitive counselor and a somatic practitioner. And my website is sarahuma.com. And I have always felt that call of my soul, and with the capacity to be able to listen to what that call is asking me to step into. So I love when you said, Andy, stepping off the cliff into the unknown, being willing to take action without a clear map leading the way. But this has been the gift of my ability to be a seer. To be able to sit in the emptiness and to tap into the mystery of the unknown and to be willing to walk into that void and see possibilities. So for me, it has been this willingness to trust my capacity to see. I am a seer. I am not in the way of having a clear sight of future, but feeling into my future self and feeling into that future self that feels enlivened and passionate and being called on a soul level to what is calling me to take the next step. So the willingness to not have the map, the willingness to enter into the mystery and to trust the mystery has far greater things to explore than the known. So when I was a young child, I felt too very different and unique, and I also felt like I had a huge capacity for joy that got very depressed at a very young age. It was just, you know, you're too joyful, you're too expressed, and I started to suppress that because I felt like it was too much. And in that suppression, repression, ended up really finding that part that felt insecure with being my authentic self really had to go into the insecurity of not fitting in, of not being able to be who I am as a joyful, big light, and to excavate those parts of myself that wanted to be able to be expressed freely. So I had really the opportunity, again, those teenage years are really powerful years of really committing to finding a way to live your life passionately and creatively. And on a very early age, I committed to staying aligned to my soul's passion and to being in alignment with my truth. And in that, I have had the opportunity to reinvent myself over and over. In fact, every day I have the opportunity to reinvent myself. And when I'm on a path that is leading me to try new things, and when they don't succeed, I just go into my closet and see who else wants to put on another expression and walk in the world and try something new. So the willingness to not get stuck in the failure, the willingness to not get trapped in the limitation of, well, I'm not this, then that means I'm not succeeding. It means there's an other part of me that wants to try to become more fully expressed and to support others in their full expression so that we can charter a new territory that is led by the soul. And that is truly what I feel a pioneer is, one that is willing to walk in that uncharted territory into the mystery and be guided by the soul.
Thank you, Sarah. Who would like to share next? What it means to them to be a pioneer.
I'd be happy to jump in here, Marilyn. My name is Brad Hudson. My medicine name is Little Frog. I'm a shamanic practitioner, a multidimensional energy healer, a teacher, a reverend, and an author. My website is www.littlefroghealing.com. I specialize in depossession and removal of long-term health problems. And I really resonate with what Sarah said about uncharted waters. I'm 57 years old. I've only been awake for 5 years. I was pretty much an atheist most of my life. And when I became awake, Spirit put me on a fast track, and an awful lot happened in these 5 years. And I find myself working with on the depossession end of it with a lot of malevolent spirits, suffering beings. And as far as the multidimensional energy aspect of it, I'm working with the Galactic Federation of Light, and I'm learning more and more about higher dimensional frequencies from the Arcturians and the Pleiadians and the Sirians. Now, that really, when people ask me what I do and I mention that, I get very strange looks and people go running for the exits. And it's so, you know, my definition of a pioneer is doing things that are out of the ordinary and making them ordinary. It's a very difficult path. I've always listened to my inner voice, much to my wife's dismay sometimes. I've always listened to it, and that's why I've been drawn to the areas where I work, because I've always asked Spirit to bring me the most difficult cases, the people who you know, modern medicine can't help at all. And these are very demanding sets of circumstances, and it requires a certain an absence of fear, I guess, to just plunge ahead. And of course, the reason why people will shy away from me when I explain what I do is because of their fear of the unknown. They don't truly understand what is going on. And that's, you know, when the teacher in me comes out and I try to explain that, and I have classes where I explain things like that. But it's being at the lead, you know, the cutting edge of what's going on and what we're able to bring to the rest of our fellow beings in this physical incarnation, that is very, very important to me, and the reason why I do what I do.
Thank you, Pat. One of the things you brought up, and I want to ask you guys, I think is important here, is in thinking about this topic and being a pioneer in us, we've talked about, you know, we're talking about energy and other energies, and we're talking about looking inward and listening and spiritual spirituality, et cetera. When I started really digging at this and looking back at my life, because a lot like the rest of you, I had this, I'm different, I'm interested in power. In third grade, I was reading Freud and witchcraft books because that was pretty much all that was available or intuitively. I was led by my intuition, and I trusted my intuition more than I trusted anybody. But yet at the same time, I didn't like myself because I thought I was too sensitive. I thought I was weak compared to everybody else that was asleep, but I didn't understand that they were asleep. And it's funny because I see, you know, the early stages of my life, you know, wanting to be like everybody, and now I'm going, woohoo, I'm not like everybody. I don't know if you guys, if you speak to that too. It's like, oh my gosh, I am so happy that I have these other interests and that I followed my path. And it's almost, I'm bringing up topics that I'm hoping also that you guys will address. The other thing is that, like, that inner calling. So I call it a calling. I'm not sure if it's, because I think that there's, you know, our purpose here as a human, and then there's our purpose as a spirit. And it was like I could not listen to the direct, you know, it's like I could not listen to research the mind. You know, you want to find out about personal power. You know, how is it in third grade, am I, you know, other than feeling powerless myself, but I didn't know a lot of other third graders who were interested in personal power. I know everybody wanted to feel better, but there's just the, you know, I'm amazed when I look back at what I was focusing on. And, you know, a lot of my friends would say, what are you thinking about that for? Why do you care about this? And, you know, and I was so hungry for the knowledge. And what I'm getting to here is, I think, and what do you think? that a lot of what we're doing is remembering. It's not like we're not, you know, going after new information. It's like I feel like this information has always been there, and it's just been hidden by that going to sleep or be, you know, sort of like the repression, the thinking we have to be like everybody else. And I think there's a lot of people, this is why I wanted to do this show, there's a lot of people out there that have been stuffing and repressing and, you know, all of those things, trying to be like somebody else instead of being themselves. And when you be yourself and you let go of all that other crap that you think you should be like, then it's like your body, your energy has the ability to expand and start to vibrate and start to connect into who you really are. And it starts you remembering who you really are, what your spirit wants and what your humanness wants to create through that spirit here on earth. So I'm throwing that out. So does anybody want to, Susie, I know I didn't get to you. I'm sorry. It's just like that. It was like, I need to put this in right now, and you can jump in right now if you want to address that, or we'll let whoever else is ready to come in and address that.
Well, I would like to address that, because that is precisely how I had felt as a young child. Just, it was always there. Just, what is it, and why do I feel wrong for even attempting it? You know, it's just that repression, as you spoke of, and it, you know, as a young child for me, you know, now I didn't mention that I'm a floral designer, but I'm not your average floral designer. there's a whole lot more to it, and there's just this incredible amount of love that really goes into everything I do. And as a kid, I spent my time, you know, picking flowers and placing them just so, and specific type of flowers. I didn't know their names. I didn't know anything about them. I didn't know their meaning and their energies. And then in the stones, the same way. I always had stones in my pocket, always having that in me, which was completely abnormal for a little girl. And you know, I just wanted to pipe in and say yes.
Thank you. Andy, do you, I know you're going to have to leave shortly. Did you want to address that, what I had said, or the questions I sort of threw out there when I was talking?
Yeah, one of the first signs in myself and that I see in others about, you know, that process of waking up and realizing, you know, what you thought you were isn't the end of it all, is that there must be more. And I kept asking that as a child, and as I started my own personal growth and transformation, I used to get mad that, oh, there's more? I'm not done yet? Come on. So no matter how awake or evolved we are, there is still more.
Mm-hmm.
And now I find that concept to be just absolutely delightful and makes me smile at no end. But, you know, at the initial phases, when you first start to wake up and realize, you know, well, I'm not just this meat suit. You know, I'm not just listening to commercials and going to my 9-to-5 job and buying the right stuff, and it's not making me happy. There must be more. So allow yourself to enjoy and dance with that notion of what more means to you, and accept that no matter what you do, no matter how many steps forward you take, there is always more. This is an expanding infinite universe, and you, we all are an expanding infinite presence.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted, like, hallelujah. And I could hear us all laugh, you know, when mm-hmm. you said the whole aspect of, like, oh, God, there's more? Because sometimes it's like, can I stop? Can I just stop a little bit of a break? And at the But at the same time, it's like, yeah, oh my God, it's like, I call it the turned on life, the juicy life. It's just like, when you allow yourself in that energy and to be that pioneer, not walk what the path that everybody else is walking and just keep following what you're calling, whatever that is, that, you know, it literally to me is feeling turned on, and I can hear it in your voice and Sarah's voice and Brad's voice and Susie's voice. It's like, that's what I want to share. So at first it feels like a lot of work, right, guys?
Yeah, it's like every other people are against you doing what you must do, with everything in you tells you you must do.
Because for many people, it's easier to stay asleep, right?
Exactly.
Until to the point that it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
And that point is different for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry,
Brad.
Go ahead.
Go on. Finish.
I was just saying that we can't force someone else to wake up. We can only choose the moment for us.
Yes, and I thank you, Marilyn, for bringing up that recognition that it is about remembrance. And what you were saying also, Andy, about, you know, it's just like remembering a dream. As we start to awaken from a dream, we start to remember parts of it, but not all of it. And then as the day goes on, there's different parts that start popping in. And that's life. It's like waking up from the dream. So it is this remembering, what was the dream? What was the dream I believed was real? So this awakening process is nothing really more than remembering what was real. And I'm always, the word remembrance is really just an activator. And when people really recognize that they already know this within themselves, and when you reflect this to them, they're like, I knew that. And that's it. It's the remembrance.
Mm-hmm. And isn't that too, it's like, that's when it's, you know, we're thinking we're broken because we're not remembering. You know,
exactly.
We're thinking that there's something wrong with us because we're feeling unique but not connected. And then when we remember that we're all connected and our uniqueness, like our fingerprint, is what makes this world such an exciting place to be. Go ahead, Andy. I know you're going to have to get off, and just wondering if you have any recommendations or any words to those up and coming pioneers or people who are just, you know, waking up and realizing that they've been asleep. Those struggling with depression and you know, any.
Yeah, I would just say that you know, people that start asking, you know, there must be more, and are waking up and feel a vision, a calling rising in them, often it can be fear of that big dream that keeps you stuck, that keeps you from acting. So while having a big dream and a vision is fantastic, I would suggest just focus on what you can do today, the simplest, smallest step that puts you in that direction. Right? You're not going to save the world in your first hour of waking up. Right? So just pick the most positive, life-affirming step that you can take in each moment, and you'll be walking your path. You'll be blazing your own trail without realizing, right? It's going to be in this effortless flow when you just worry about the first step in front of you, not the entire scope of saving the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Andy.
It's my pleasure. And I am going to run, but I will be tuning into all of you soon.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you, Andy.
Thank you, Andy.
Brad, do you want to add anything to that conversation?
Yes, thank you. You know, there's another side to the waking up part of it that I encounter quite a bit. And that is, you know, we listen to the inner voice and we've all accepted it and acknowledged it and moved forward with it. However, I know with some of my clients and even some of my friends that it's very obvious when the universe is calling you. But some people, like Andy had mentioned, the fear, maybe they're a little bit afraid of making some changes in their life. They're afraid of whatever the implications are. And maybe they don't even realize that they're being called. But I've found that the universe will always jumps in and can make their lives progressively messier and more difficult as things go. You know, the universe is trying to get their attention and tell them that they're not on their path. They're meant to be doing something else. And I run into many people who come to me and they say, Brad, you know, this is going wrong. That's going wrong. You know, I'm trying as hard as I can and everything is, I'm being sued. My company's not doing well. My car is breaking down. And they just think that they're having a run of bad luck. When many times I look at the big picture and I say, you know, you're really getting messages that you need to change the path that you're on. And one of the tough things for me is learning when to let go when I'm working with someone like that, because I can provide them with the tools that they need, but I cannot provide them with the outcome that they need. So there's times when I just have to pull back and they need to make some of those realizations on their own. And I think we've probably all, you know, found that at one time or another, that when you're working with someone, you can give them all the tools in your tool chest and even reach out and find more. But if they're not willing to implement them and take the time to work with them, then you've reached the limit of what you're able to do for that individual.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good. Because I don't know, for some reason my screen's like going on and off. So good. Well, thank you for that, Brad, because that brings up another that topic of, you know, the sort of waking up. And Sarah, can you mute your phone? I think I can hear. We can hear you walking. That when you, I think we had talked about getting, you know, when life is calling to us, and, you know, what do I want to say, waking us up with challenges, and people see challenges as life trying to take you down, what I've learned is that the challenges are to help you wake up, because they're there to help you get what you're really desiring to create in your life. And I think, Brad, you and I had talked about before about, you know, having the feather, you know, a feather of a challenge come rather than the Mack truck hit you. And so I think one of the things that we can share with this audience is that if, you know, one of the things, if you are having challenges in your life, that those challenges are not to say you're broken or things are good. It's to say that you're, you know, remember, you know, get clear, wake up, you know, you're not paying attention to something about you that is wanting to be expressed. And, I can feel Sarah wanting to say something.
Yes, well, this is the call of a challenge is a call to face
what is your fear, and to choose to either walk through the fear and face what's on the other side of fear, which is an experience of yourself as love and experiencing yourself as being able to share your gifts in the world. And I see this over and over with those that are challenged to really step off the cliff, that place of the leap in trust. And the leap in trust is really about trusting in the self. And I think when it was Andy in the beginning talking about that foundation of self-love, that when you really deepen on that path of self-love and self-trust, you're willing to take that risk to expand and open rather than to stay tight and closed and what appears to be safe, even if it's not working out. So I think that challenge is always an invitation to really allow that to give you an opportunity to love yourself and to trust yourself. You know, I'm aware I'm working with so many people right now that are at this gate of challenge and really afraid. They're afraid of not knowing, and that is the shift from mind to heart, and building that bridge from mind to heart that really recognizes that when we're living in our heart, when we're listening to our heart, when we're being guided by our heart, that we will always experience that outpicturing of love coming back to us. And if we're moving from our mind and fear, we're going to have that experience of seeing more fear and more challenges until we make that choice to step into that place of the heart and to listen and follow from that.
So I'm getting that a pioneer or trailblazer or innovators are, the characteristic is that they have gone down this path themselves. They have gone down, they've discovered they're walking, and they know how to walk in the unknown. They know how to move through their fears. And they know how that doing this reminds them of who they are. It builds their faith, it turns their energy towards the self-love versus the fear and criticism, and so then they come back, and that pioneer comes back and says, okay, I know this can be done. I've walked this path. I understand that walking our own paths are very important, so I can guide you down your path. We can, you know, take out the machetes and you lead the way, and I will help support you knowing what I know. And would you guys agree with that or add anything to that?
Definitely. Yeah, I'd like to add something to that, Marilyn, that I totally agree with everything that Sarah said, and I've found that the major cause of that fear, when people start learning how to listen to their heart and take that risk and do what decide what gives them the most love and joy out of life, and then move in that direction, that the biggest element of fear comes from the fact that they don't know how it's going to happen, and they try to force it to happen. When in actuality, all the universe requires is that we make that decision, we achieve the intent of doing what brings us the most love and joy, and then it's the job of the universe to provide the how. And I think most people in our modern society don't understand that because they want to know, how is this going to happen? I think that's the one question that each person will ask themselves 100 times a day about 100 different things, whereas we've found the resources to put our total trust and faith in spirit And we know that just by moving forward and taking those baby steps toward our goals, that the universe will then provide the appropriate how. We may only know one or two ways to make something happen, whereas the universe has an infinite number of ways to make things happen.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's very difficult trying to get people to understand that. And once they do, it's this huge light bulb that goes off. They've made a major breakthrough when they understand that.
Right. I think that's a great point. And so it's also then we're teachers because, you know, that I see is probably one of the first things is teaching people about who they are energetically and who they are in this incredible universe that we live in, and that building that faith, you know, and now we have science that's backing up what used to just be, you know, some people would call woo-woo, others would, you know, even though it's been through religion forever, but people didn't trust that. You know, and so and now I think that is, so our pioneers bridging spirit and earth, you know, or is that part of that's part of our quest is to figure that out because, for ourselves and then to come back and share that. And for people to understand that is you're supported and connected to everything, and you don't have to know. All you have to know is where you want to go and you know, take action on that.
Mm-hmm. And I also think it's important to bring up that, especially when you're just first getting open to all of this, that you're gonna fall back, and you know, and you just gotta keep going and bring your thoughts back, sit with yourself, get real clear with yourself and who you are and what you need to be doing. And get back on that horse, if you will. You know, I think there's a lot of falling backward, two steps back, another step forward. So I don't know, Brad. Did you have any of that or?
I did, and it was pretty obvious early on when that was happening, and I got to the point where. As soon as I heard that voice, I followed it immediately.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And like I said a little earlier, it drove my wife nuts. It drives my son nuts. But it's to the point where I started a company 20 years ago, very successful. In January, I walked away from my partners, and I just told them, I said, guys, I can't do this anymore. This is my spiritual calling. I must do this full time. And I listened to... the inner voice, even though the payout wasn't anything like it would have been when they sell it in the future. It didn't matter. It wasn't important. What was important was the work that I was doing with people and the teaching and, the healing. And sure enough, after, a couple of months, Spirit started really, pressing on the gas pedal for me, and I got very, very busy. And so, you know, there's proof of, you know, what we're all talking about, and we've probably all experienced that.
Mm-hmm.
I know that one of my challenges is the how, and I have to continually just lean back and let the how figure itself out. And boy, that's a tough lesson for me. I mean, I'm learning it, but it's kind of tough.
Yeah, well, you're and all of us are reprogramming our subconscious mind, and that's why it's that, you know, you have been programmed from a young child through your environment, through what your parents believe, your culture, the media, your peers, education, religion, and, you know, that you know, as a young child, you're a sponge. You take in all of that stuff, and then you think that's who you are, and so when you start around between 7 and 9, you become more conscious, and so you can take things in or not take things in. But you have this foundation that isn't even you, and so you, and that's what you start, how you see the world. That's how you perceive things in the world, whether if your parents thought the world was a safe place or whether they thought it was an unsafe place, and whether they thought you were, like Sarah was saying, was too exuberant about life and she needed to tone it down. It had nothing to do with her. It had to do whether they could handle her energy or not. Mm-hmm. And so we build these ideas up about ourselves, and we start making these rules and beliefs that start, that we play over and over again, and then they just become unconscious programming, just like your computer's programmed to do certain things, and that just, you're on autopilot. You're not even thinking. You know, you're not really thinking. You're just reacting to life. And when you start to wake up, what happens and why it feels so difficult in the beginning until you flip a couple of those very deep-rooted, powerful beliefs, and, you know, one of them is that you are responsible in creating your world, and you're connected to everything and source, and you're very powerful. Once you get that, then it becomes easier and easier. But you, stopping smoking, the habit, it's just everything is, you have to change that programming that is in your mind that runs. It's like grooves in your mind that are telling you just automatically to do it. And your willpower most of the time cannot override that until you're really, like, committed and emotionally committed, and there's feelings behind it, and it's like, damn it, I'm doing this. And, you know, and sometimes that's anger that gets you there, and sometimes it's excitement that gets you there, and sometimes it's just, you know, really surrendering or gratitude. You know, there's different ways, but that is, you know, understanding that what we all go through, it's like peeling an onion. There's all this programming that's there, and you just pull one layer away, and then you think you're going, and then another layer shows up. And it's just removing all that gunk around you that is keeping you from remembering and shining your unique energy, your unique vibration, and love that you are in the world.
Thank you, Marilyn, for speaking to the unconscious, subconscious programs that we've bought into, and this is really the process of deleting those programs. And I see it just as that. It's programs that have conditioned us to live in a very linear way, to live in a masculine paradigm where it is done from that, this is what you do, this is how you make it happen, this is how you force it into being, rather than really deleting those programs that have been placed in all of our collective subconscious, and to beginning to reprogram and reboot ourselves to that knowing that our higher self
is the software that is really going to take us into the fullest experience of our life and helping us move out of the known and into the mystery. I keep coming back to the mystery. Are we willing to live in the mystery? And I personally, I'm a focalizer and a priestess of the 13 Moon Mystery School, and I kind of laugh at it because it's like life is the mystery school. And are you open to living in the mystery and exploring from that place of the unknown? And first we have to delete a lot of those unconscious programs that are afraid of the unknown. And I know for myself, my kids used to laugh, that I constantly used to say, cancel clear, cancel clear, cancel clear. Because I'd watch these thoughts come in and I'd know they were not my thoughts. But I had to say that instantly, like, oh, that is not my higher self thought. That is the world's thought. So cancel clear it, delete it, and set up these new programs that are programmed for our higher self to be in its fullest expression and to be trusting this new territory that is the mystery school called Earth School that is asking us to be really clear and not keeping too many programs on our screen that are depleting our energy. So I think that doing the subconscious work too and clearing the collective beliefs is a good place to begin to cancel clear so that you can have a clear screen to be able to see from that inner sight that sees what your soul is calling you into.
I just want to add one other thing to that, too, that I'm really feeling is important, too, is that while we're here on the planet, is that in order to do that, in order to awake, you need to get in your body. You need to start feeling what you're feeling. And to manifest on this earth, you know, people are saying, I can't create what it is that I desire. Well, you can't because you're out of your body and you're not clear. You're not feeling who you are. And if you can't feel who you are, you can't deal with what is. And if you can't deal with what is, you can't love you. You can't see and experience what is happening for you now and learn to manage that. Learn to manage your mind. Learn to manage your energy in a way that is loving and supportive of who you really are, which we were talking about, going through the reprogramming. And then after that, it's choosing, you know, letting yourself come forward and living in that mystery and choosing what do you want in each moment. But, so being in your body, getting aware of what you're feeling, grounding yourself, feeling the Mother Earth, connecting with everything around you is another key place to start. And that can feel very scary to a lot of people because you have not been taught how to cope with what you're feeling, how to manage. You know, here's an empowering, this is, you can, like Sarah was just saying and Brad was saying, you can take charge of your mind. You can let, you know, when a thought comes in, you don't have to engage it. You don't have to play with it. You don't have to believe it. You can delete it. And, you know, so you're the one that's in charge of focusing what you want to focus on, what you want to feel. But you've got to come in and start playing in that arena and not hang out outside of your body and self-medicate or just, you know, sort of stay out like I don't want to deal, denial. That won't get you anywhere. And it's not healthy and it's not expressing who you are. You are not broken. You know, the thing is you are not broken. All of you, everything that's there for you is available to you. You just have to uncover it like a treasure. It's a treasure. Mm-hmm. There's a treasure in there, and it's to be expressed and play in this world you know, that's what I would say would be, you know, play, that suffering is not necessary.
Yeah. Yes. I love this word embodiment. And in this word embodiment, there is the potential to really be embodied in our spirit. And the way to be embodied in our spirit is to really feel our body and allow the body wisdom to begin to be trusted. And again, it's shifting from a very masculine model to a very feminine model. And of course, I'm very interested in supporting the awakening of the divine feminine on the planet. And that means embodiment. That means being really fully anchored here in our body, and to learn how to listen to the signals of the body, listen to the sensations of the body, feel what brings us pleasure, feel what brings us joy, feel that life force that is wanting to express through us. And if we're just in that visionary out there, you know, spirit realm, we're not grounded into the material realm. And that is the practice right now, is really to be grounded here, be in our bodies, and to find whatever movement practices really anchor you into a deeper connection with your physical body, matter in form, mother. I see this as the embodiment of mother, the embodiment of love, the embodiment of this wisdom. So many of our spiritual practices have asked us to transcend the body. And we're really now being asked to descend into body, into form, to bring this vision down, to be able to be the visionary that is the pioneer, that can step into the territory of our body, to be able to listen to the signals that are showing us a way into this mystery of the new territory that we're here to create.
And I think it's very helpful to, along with what you were saying, to go back to how you felt as a child. You know, the wonderment, allowing yourself, because you didn't know not to, or hopefully we're not told not to feel. So you just naturally did, and that can maybe help bring out what, I don't have the word for it, what your calling is, what you're here to do. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Susie, I love that, bringing us back to what it felt like to be a child, to be in wonderment, to be in awe, to reconnect with that innocence. And I do believe that's where we can access that feeling quality that begins to manifest into the physical.
See, for me, I could never let go of those particular things, which is part of what told me I was kind of different. I just couldn't, you know, I had to go with that somehow. But yeah, go ahead.
Brad, do you have anything to add?
For me, it's about living in the now, in the ever-present moment. And the way to achieve that is kind of going back to what Sarah was talking about with programming, as far as eliminating your past. We all live in our past. We make the same decisions over and over because that's the way we've always done it. You know, we emulate our parents in our marriages because that's the only way that we ever knew. And I found that it was always very, very helpful to get rid of those movies that play over and over in your mind, those experiences in your life when you felt anger or blame or shame or guilt. all of those negative emotions. And when these things would come up for me, I learned to just send everyone love and forgiveness, especially myself. It's so important to love and forgive yourself, even more so than everyone else involved. But then thank everyone for the lessons and say, you know what, I don't need to see this again. And it took me maybe a year or so, but I got rid of all of that stuff and was able then to start with a clean slate. And I think that helped me tremendously as far as moving forward, listening to the inner voice, going with my heart instead of my mind. And especially when I would listen to that voice, I would believe it 100%. There was no turning back when I made those decisions. And I made some big decisions that affected my family. But it was, they were all guided by the heart, and because of the way our egos are structured and because of the way our minds are, you know, it's so important to have that total faith in knowing that what you're doing is right and it will work. And that's also, everyone has touched upon this too, and that's also the beauty of our lives, of our physical incarnations each time we come back, that it is pure magic. The things that I see now happening, the manifestations, are absolutely incredible. And I have to keep a journal about everything because I would just forget 90% of them. But it's the wonderment of life. You know, if we knew how everything was going to work, it wouldn't be any fun being here. Mm-hmm. So by having those intentions of doing what we love the most and what brings us the most joy, and then sitting back and seeing how these things play out and the people that come into your life and the experiences that come into your life just make every single day magic. And I absolutely love that.
Well, guys, we're at the hour, and so just we've covered a lot, and it's been wonderful to have all of you here. I'm just wondering, is there anything, if you feel into the energy, that needs to be expressed out on this call that we haven't already covered? And anything that the up-and-coming pioneers would appreciate hearing from you, or why we need pioneers and trailblazers? Is there anything that we didn't cover? And if we're covered, then we're fine, and we'll conclude this call. But I'm just opening up that if you can, any last messages.
Being a pioneer is not an easy path, but it's so worthwhile. Don't let your fears overcome you. Follow your heart. Realize that you're going to lose some friends along the way, but you're also going to gain some absolutely fabulous friends. But above all, I would just suggest to people that don't let the fear hold you back. You know, realize it, accept it, absorb it, and then keep on going, because the end result is so so mm-hmm. worth it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I'd like to really reach out to the young pioneers, and we have so many amazing young ones that are coming in without the programming, and that see through the maze of madness of a world that is no longer working. And I see these young pioneers that recognize we are here to create a new earth. We are creating heaven on earth here and now. And it takes all of us in a collective to be willing to really see what is possible when we shift out of the old paradigm of needing to know into to allowing this
guidance of our source, our spirit, our higher self, whatever you want to call it, that recognizes that we're here to live in joy. We're here to be fully expressing our gifts, to trust in this part of you that knows this, that remembers this, that continues to face the challenges with this courageous, open heart, and recognizing that your soul was called here at this most auspicious time where we really are dreaming in a new reality, and that it is the conscious dreamers now that are the pioneers, that are the ones that are here knowing that we are the change that we wish to see. I know it's so trite, but it says so much. So I thank all the young pioneers and all the old pioneers and all those that are really remembering, I'm here now. I'm here fully to be in my soul expression and to be creating, co-creating this new reality, this new earth, this heaven on earth. Susie, do you have something you want to share?
Actually, no, I think you guys covered everything just beautifully. And you know, as Brett had said, you know, follow your heart. Just follow your dreams. Take the steps and keep taking them. Don't give up.
And I think I'd like to thank you. I'd like to add, too, remember you're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of pioneers. And like Sarah was saying, too, I work with a lot of the young ones that are coming in and that are, and a lot of millennials that are here, you know, following your heart. Know you are worth it and that you're, you know, following, doing your own work and following your path. And remember, this is a journey. You're on your journey. Just stay on your journey. And you are helping, by doing your work, you're helping out humanity in this planet. You don't need to worry about even other people. Just walk that path and be as, you know, what fills your heart, with joy and happiness and prosperity and you know, your passions, that is, you know, that is knowing that energy and following that, then you know you're on the right path, and allowing yourself to expand and express that out in the world. And you are never, ever alone. And if you meet, you've got right here, you've had, you know, some of us today, and there's a lot more of us that are here to support you if you need any support, and to mentor you if you need mentoring, but just to know you are not alone and you are greatly appreciated, and we are grateful for everybody who is waking up and walking their path. And so thank you to all my guests. Thank you to Andy, to Sarah, to Susie, to Brad. And please share this with other people if you listen. Pass it on, because this important information for those people that this was meant for them to hear.
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys. Thank you so much.
Beautiful. Thank you all. And thank you, Marilyn, for bringing this into the collective and sharing them. In so many different ways of perceiving this path. Thank you. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye.
Have a great day.